Nobody's destroying
Love
anything.
Talk Radio.
Oh, 6:30. All right, enough of that. Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, July 26th of 2022. And if you did not tune in to last night's five-year anniversary special, you missed out. But you can go back and take a listen at it. It was an awesome show, and we had Preacher Man on board with us last night, as he was the one who helped me to launch it. Because originally, the story behind the channel was, if you didn't hear the story, it was that originally there was this guy who had been doing like rock and roll and other stuff like that on this channel. And then this guy ends up giving the channel to Preacher Man. And then he had been doing it for a long time. And then he gave it to me 5 years ago. And so originally Preacher Man had originally been talking about sports on a station up in the West Branch area back in the day, up in West Branch. That's about 40 minutes or so, basically due north, a tiny bit west of here, and here where I live here in Midland, so about 40 minutes north. As a matter of fact, they are home. Last time I checked, Brittany, West Branch was actually home to a fair of better rides than the Midland Fair in the same week, 5 years ago.
West Branch?
Yes, the Ogemaw Fair. I had went to it back in 17. Why was their Midway better than Midland as far as the big rides and that, when the area of Midland is bigger? Guess what? I don't know why. I can't figure that out. In fact, I would like to trade companies with Ogemaw. I don't know why we can't do that. They can get the little cruddy rides. We can have the really nice rides. And I have a question. Well, I'm on the subject of fares. Brittany, why did you tell me that the only riding that your daughter would be doing would be with your brother?
With my brother?
With her brother.
Because I don't want her going on the big ride.
Well, why?
Because she's a widow and she might fall out.
Well, here's the thing. Parents, when you have, 12-year-olds, you have to realize, in a way, yes, you want to do things right and everything else, and I get it, you want to watch out for them and, try at your best to keep them as safe as you can. But at the same time, when they're 12, they're not 6. They're not 8.
Do you want to play Out of the Shadows?
I'm going to play that. I'm going to do that in a few minutes, but right now I'm kidding.
Well, let me know, and I got you.
I'm going to let you know when, I promise.
Okay.
But, anyhow, hey, are you popping on my program?
No.
I heard pops. I heard pops.
I don't have anything.
You have a popper. I think you do. Sorry, listeners, if you hear that, what that is that's this thing. That's the new, it's the quote-unquote new fidget spinner, I like to call it. It's called a poppet. Honestly, in my mind, these are a whole lot better. I tried to play the fidget spinner. I tried to play with one of my cousins' fidget spinner. And let me tell you something. Usually, I'm not the give-up kind of guy. But I thought it was so difficult that, I literally cried for 5-10 minutes. And then it was like, you know what? Can't get this to work. Couldn't get it to do anything for me. So I just had to give it up. So for those, and so there was that whole thing behind that. So another thing I want to mention is real quick, another thing kind of cool is last night I got this package, and what it is it's this Dash donut maker. And I don't know if you saw this, Brittany, but in the box it's a little booklet of recipes. There's supposed to be.
Is there? I didn't see it. I didn't get to look.
I hope there is. And from what I understand, according to YouTube, one of them involves peanut butter donuts. And for those of you who know me, you would know that one of my favorite flavors on any kind of dessert item is peanut butter.
Yes.
Yeah, but
we can make some. I told you that. Like, we can mix.
Yeah, but we can. But at the same time, at least to a degree, I kind of like to follow the book.
I'm not a book follower.
By book, I mean recipe book. That's part of a book too. The recipes come in a book or a little piece of paper. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you feel like even when it comes to the quote unquote recipe book, you feel like sometimes that book could be wrong too.
Not wrong, but there's not. If you add something to something to make it taste how you want it to, it's not wrong because that's your preference.
Yeah, like but what if the book said to add the Reese's peanut butter cups and you were like no. Then I'd rather do, in that case, I'd rather do,
I mean,
maybe
I
do what the book
add,
says.
Like that kind of consistency stuff, because then it'll probably burn.
Even if the book said to, it would?
Yeah. No.
Because obviously whoever writes the little booky thingy knows what they're doing, because it came from the manufacturer or whoever. Came from Dash, who made it. Because I was told they had a peanut butter donut recipe in the thing. But it can make – I think there's two different models. One has four that it can make. The other can make seven. Because I was told one model can make four. The other model can make seven donuts. They're cute little mini donuts, but they're awesome. How do I know? I had a couple last night. And a couple this morning, but they and I went with white ones, and they're delicious because it came with this batter mix, these two different batter mixes. One's white and the other's chocolate. Now, my ultimate dream donut machine, which I'm figuring out how I would invent it, because I don't think, because obviously, I really don't think this certain one exists. I honestly do not believe that this certain one I'm about to say exists. But my ultimate dream one that I'd like to invent, here's what it does. So in case you're wondering, does it make like 50, 60, 70 of any size donuts at a time? No, it doesn't. So it's not like this giant commercial one like you might see at the donut shop. No. Can it make one, maybe two of any size donuts? Sure. Of a lot of different size. It can also make things like whoopie pies, maybe even cookies. No. No. You don't think could a donut machine ever make cookies if it was made a certain way? Not my donut machine. Not the one I just got, but... Do you think it could, Brittany, or do you doubt it? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Or these whoopie pies, because I really like the whoopie pies from this Amish place in Clare. If you know what I'm talking about, there's Country Cook Stove Bakery. I love it. I actually recommend them.
Where?
It's called Country Cook Stove Bakery. It's in Clare. Have you heard of that place before or no?
No.
You haven't? Cassandra, have you?
No.
Wow. But okay. But it was. But anyhow. But my dream, you know, donut machine, be like, it'd be called something to do with Land of Sweets, I think. Because when I think of Land of Sweets from the Nutcracker, and I know it's the day after Christmas in July, but it's still July, so honestly, who cares? But the Land of Sweets from the Nutcracker, what was in there? Do you have any idea what was in that Land of Sweets? With a
lollipops.
What? Why were they only lollipops? Well, my idea of the whole Land of Sweets thing is a bit different. Instead of lollipops and a cotton candy cloud, you could have a cotton candy cloud, but let me tell you something about it. The cotton candy cloud and what have you, it's going into the baked goods and the ice cream. Because if I opened a store and named it Land of Sweets, who came up with a machine called the Land of Sweets machine, it would be made from, it would be used for making or selling more so baked treats as well as ice cream. Baked treats as well along with donuts. So this means things like, you know, the whoopie pies, the cookies, the pies, stuff like, yeah, the whoopie pies, donuts, pies, cookies, brownies, things of that nature, elephant ears, as well as, you guessed it, ice cream. Would there be candy on its own? Not so much, because what I do have is going in to whatever, like cakes, cookies, and that I come up with. Do you feel like that's kind of a different? Do you feel like that's kind of a different idea, Brittany?
A little bit.
Are you surprised that I would come up with it or do it or change it to that? Or you're not surprised that I would do it this way? You're not surprised, are you?
No.
Especially being that I prefer the baked goods over the straight candy bars, if you know what I mean. Because, and I've been this way for a long time, to be honest. But I feel like it would be, but that sounds like a cool name for something like that, doesn't it? Land of Sweets.
Yeah.
Because it has a lot of different combinations of that, of such. And so... Anyhow, I just was having a little bit of fun with that. All right. I do have certain songs that I want to share with you. If you wouldn't mind going ahead and playing it, Brittany. This is a song that was actually debuted at Invasion Youth Young Adults Conference last week. Take a listen.
Thank you.
There you have it, out of the shadows. This was actually a studio version. The first time I ever heard it, though, was actually live at the Invasion last week, Thursday night. And the truth of the matter is, folks, it's time to come out of the shadows. And that was the theme of Invasion 2022, the 25th anniversary of Invasion Youth Young Adults Conference. And to be honest with you folks, I have not missed one night of Invasion since back in 01. I have not missed one night of it. And nor would I. And you know, when I'm there at night, when I go at night, now I love everything about it. I love getting to meet people, and I love going up. I love going up there and worshiping, praising, screaming. You're knowing that because it does get pretty crazy. And then watching God move. And I'm expecting that. And to be honest, folks, it's an awesome thing to see. And like I said, I really enjoy it. And, of course, can't forget about the spoon, which way back when they started it, it used to just be called the concession, but it's now the spoon. Nonetheless, I do want to remind you, honestly, of a couple things before I get into a couple songs that I want to sing. The first thing that I want to remind you about is about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been. And as I said yesterday, I just celebrated a birthday. I turned 33, and I don't feel it. And but I don't think, honestly, I don't think of 33 as old. And I mean, I've heard of people saying that they were old at like 21, 22. In fact, I had heard a certain young adult say that at Invasion several years back. I almost said, hey, why did you say that here? You'd wonder the same thing, Brittany. Wouldn't you be like, well, why did you say it here? What? Wouldn't you wonder the same thing, Brittany? Yeah. You'd be like, out of all places, why would you say it here? You know?
Right.
I mean, unless maybe they were just tired and they did it because it was Friday and maybe they were just tired and they were like, I don't know that I can scream anymore. I don't know if I, if they had been competing, I don't know. But I thought it was kind of funny that they did that. And I don't think I've ever once called myself old, yet I know of someone who was younger than me, who was like 23, who used to call themselves old lady, like when they would get up or whatever sometimes, and I'd be like, I'd remind them of that in a way. Like, I thought it was funny that they were doing that, but as for me, no. Nonetheless, enough of that. Now, but to be honest, it's the story, the book, Rivers of Miracles, story of my life, and about all the different things that God has brought me through and the battles I've had to go through in my life. I wouldn't wish them on anybody. I would not wish them on anybody. Honestly, I think it would be mean of me to wish that even on an enemy. I think it would be mean, cruel. I would not do that. But you can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles, and how the book can be a blessing into your life. Because I would love for you to read it. And I'm believing God for people, more people to buy this book and then to share it with others. One time, about 2 weeks ago, in fact, I was over at the city pool here in my town, and one of the lifeguards, I'm going by, saying hi to her, and she tells me, and she says, "Well, Rivers, you wrote a book, didn't you?" And I'm like, "Well, my mom wrote it," but at the same time, I'm like, "Well, yeah, we did it." She's like, "Well," I'm like, "Well, how did you know?" And she's like, "Well, one of my coworkers." I didn't have said something. I didn't ask which one, but now I wish I did. But that was honestly cool. That was super cool. Yeah, people finding out about the book. And I pray that you would read it. And if you don't know Jesus, that you would give your life to him. Because I honestly feel that I would pray that this book would increase your faith if you know Jesus. I honestly feel that that book should increase your faith, because as we read last night, must have faith in order to please God. And this is a great way in order to build up your faith, is reading this book. Amen. So that's about the book. The other thing I want to remind you about is sowing into the Miracle Man program. Now, I always believe God for partners to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. And we have one partner who lives in Honduras but stays in Michigan for a time during the summer. And if you're listening, thank you so much for sowing your seed. And I thank God for you. And whenever people sow seeds like that, I always thank God for that. And I don't take it for granted. And when you sow a seed in the Miracle Man program, folks, you're sowing into great ground. You are sowing into good ground. No moth and rust corrupt it. Thieves don't break in and steal. It's like that. Because we know about the parable of the sower. And we know the sower goes out to sea to sow a seed. He goes out to the field to sow a seed, not the sea. He goes out to the field to sow a seed. Some of the seed falls among the paths, birds of the air, eat it up. Some throw on rocky places. And that's not great either. Others fall among thorns, grow up, choke the plants. But others, they sow the seed on good ground, where it yields a crop. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, what was sown. Not what was sold, what was sown. But nonetheless, so every time you sow that seed, I always pray over that seed, because I want you to be blessed. And the verse I want to sow into you right now is Luke 6:38, where it says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with whatsoever measure you give, it shall be given unto you. Amen. And I thank God for that. I stand on that word. I stand on that word. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I want to sing a couple of more songs tonight. And then I want to get into the word and continue on with Moses tonight. And so I'm going to sing a couple of other songs. And so with that, nothing can separate, even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh, no. The wind is strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. The castle was far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. You stay the same. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. 'Cause you make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh, your love never fails. Oh, you make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, and you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. Oh, love so undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, love, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, how we love you tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are with us tonight. You are always going before us. You're always hemming us in. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're meeting every one of these listeners right where they are, whatever they're doing, whatever they're doing tonight, whatever they're fighting in their life, whatever battles they're facing. Thank you that the victory is always greater than the battle, no matter what that battle is that they're facing, no matter what it is that they're believing you for. Thank you that fear would live them, that they would no longer be a slave to fear, to doubt, to unbelief, that they would instead turn to you instead of turning to those other, all that other stuff, the fear, the doubt, the unbelief. And thank you, Lord God, that peace would come to these storms, these different storms that we face as we go through life. And now, Master, I thank you tonight for this word, for this time in your word tonight. We get to study and learn about you tonight, that we would walk in your ways as we study your word, and that we would do the things that it tells us to do rather than just be those who hear the word but choose not to follow it. But Master, thank you tonight for every one of these listeners, that you would meet every need that is present. I don't know what all they need, but you know what they need. And I thank you that they would receive the things that they're believing you for, whether it be revelation, whether it be guidance, whether it be healing in their bodies, whether it be, you know what it is that they need. And I thank you that you'll meet those needs that are represented right now in the lives of all of these listeners tonight. And now I make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners would come into this program. I thank you that finances would come into this program. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that more and more listeners would tune into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, amen. And now I want to make a Bible confession. The reason I do this is because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. That's why I do this. So this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the word says I can have. And I can do what the word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a religious book to me. And it's more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight, in the name of Jesus. Go with me to Exodus 9. Thank God for the Word of God. We're going to continue looking at Moses tonight and what all happened with Wild Pharaoh. You know what? Actually, let's go to 10. We did 9. Let's go to 10. And we're at least for 3 days yet. And verse 27. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let the Israelites go. Pharaoh said to Moses, get out of my sight and make sure that you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die. Just as you say, Moses replied, I will never appear before you again. Chapter 11 now. Now the Lord had said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. Tell the people that men and women alike, are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. So Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. From the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne, to the firstborn son of the slave girl, who is at her handmill. And all the firstborn of the cattle also. Hang on, just turn the page. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or will ever be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any man or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All their officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, go, you and all the people who follow you. After that, I will leave. Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. The Lord had said to Moses, Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt. Moses and Aaron performed all of these wonders before Pharaoh. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go out of his country. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month. The first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family. One for each household. If any household too small for a whole lamb, then they must share one with their nearest neighbor. Having taken into account the number of people there are, you are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep for the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water. Roast it over the firehead. Lift the inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If there is left till morning, then you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it. A quote tucked into your belt. And then it gives a few other things. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and will strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment on all of the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day that you are to commemorate for the generations to come, and shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days, you are to eat bread made without yeast. Bye-bye, donuts! Do donuts have yeast in them, Brittany?
No.
Oh, good! I can eat donuts! Okay, I'm just messing around. The Old Testament, but still, nonetheless. For 7 days, you ought to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses. For whoever eats anything with yeast on the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel on the first day. Hold a sacred, and with another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat and to ride the elevator at my apartment complex and to be able to use to open and close the door. Okay, I made that part up. That is all you may do. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your versions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast from the evening. And I'm kind of skipping over a few of the, you know, bread and stuff. You will see the blood on the... Obey these instructions as a new ordinance for you and for your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? You can tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and they worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all of the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner, who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all of the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. Verse 31. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron, and he said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have seen, and go. And also, bless me," the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country. "For otherwise," they said, "we will all die." So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold for the clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. The Israelites journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them, as well as large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds, with the dough they had brought from Egypt. They baked cakes with unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare food for themselves. On the length of time the Israelites had lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, that very day, all of the Lord's demonitions left Egypt, because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt. On this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. All right, so what you see here is so Pharaoh was still not letting the people go until that midnight had hit, and then after that plague of the firstborn, where all of the firstborn in Egypt, all of them, think about that, lots of people, all the firstborn, if you were the firstborn, you were going to die. There was nothing medically that could have been done to save your life. You would have died. And then Pharaoh was like, "Go." But he made them hurry up. But his heart had been hardened by the Lord. Moses knew that this was going to happen, and he kept asking the Lord. You know, he kept asking Pharaoh time and time again. God said, let my people go that they may serve me. My people go that they may serve me. Let my people go that they may serve me. Time and time and time and time and time again. What had Pharaoh kept saying? Nope. Then he would change his mind to say, well, yeah, you can go, but I'm going to limit how far you can go. Then he said, yeah, you can go, but I'm not going to let you take your livestock with you. He's like, yeah, go ahead, take your children, take your wives with you. But he basically says, I can't have you taking your livestock. To that, Moses says, well, the thing with that is we need the livestock in order to be able to do our sacrifices to the Lord. Because at the time, the way you sacrifice to the Lord was through animals. Because this was under the Old Testament. So it wasn't like you could sacrifice, you know, time, you know, through doing what God called you to do and, you know, make sacrifices like for his kingdom, you know, fasting, praying, things like that. No, this was the way you ultimately sacrificed was through the killing of those animals and those different things that we had read about tonight. And we're not under the, we are not under the old Mosaic covenant. We are under the covenant of Jesus at Calvary when Jesus shed his blood for us. But at the same time, you see, Moses was a great leader. And of course, in this day and age, we still have stuff like Pharaoh, like tyrants. Look at the tyranny during COVID. People could not go to the house of God and worship God without passable penalties. So here in my state, Michigan, so it's like this. The governor here issues stay-at-home order. You know, first she closes the restaurants and that. Then she does, you know, stay-at-home order. You know, the first attack she did on churches was made it so that they could only have 10 people in the building at a time. 10 people. Think about that. That's not really enough to do a service. Then she does a stay-at-home order, and then what she does makes it so that's like, it's okay for the pastor to do service at his church or her church. But if you show up to the property, you could be subject to arrest. Then eventually my church got clearance to reopen. But here in America, we have First Amendment. And according to the Constitution, part of that is freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of religion, freedom of religion. What does that mean? That means freedom to gather. That means freedom to gather in the house of God. And my Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. even the more so as you see the day approaching, as you see the day of the coming of the Lord. And let me tell you, that day is getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. Every day it's getting close. Or as I might have heard some other people say it before, on the daily. And so, yeah, we're inching closer and closer. And my Bible says don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. But oh, and by the way, in case you were wondering about that, the plan was to shut the church permanently. Permanently. But then, thankfully, we had judges in the U.S. who took a stand. There was problems in California. Even in, ultimately, it was decided they couldn't just shut down the church. Hopefully, that continues to stand because you can't stop the church. And you know what? God loves his church. God loves his people. God has the best interest of his people in mind. And when I hear, let my people go that they may serve me, in the case of Egypt, it was let the Israelites go so that they may worship me. In our day of an age would be, let my people go that they may be free to worship me. No, not me, River Shukla, but by me. I mean, like, the Lord would be like, let them go that they may go worship me and praise me and study the Word of God and receive, you know, from sorry about that. I just got a notification. But, oh, yeah. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Oh. Now, Siri, if you would just shut your face, please. Okay, enough of that. Now, in all seriousness, though, back to the message. So, what you have, you see, is, so, as I said, the plan was to shut us down permanently. Then, you know, we had those judges who ruled that, you know, couldn't stop the church. And so, like I said, with the whole feral thing, so what we have to realize is that, you know, thankfully the plans of the wicked were pushed back against because we were not supposed to be allowed to worship God in person again. Oh, and by the way, some of you might have been thinking, well, can always stream your church service, assuming your church does streaming. Well, about that, I would say, thank God for the ability to stream. So I thank God for the ability to stream. We didn't have that back 30 years ago. We didn't have that 30 and 25 years ago. Now we have it. But that was not meant to replace the gathering of yourselves together as a, on a permanent basis. And some of you might think, well, yeah, I can stay home and I can stream the service in my little jammies, eating my popcorn, you know, the flavor of my choice with cheese if I please and what have you. And listeners, if you're home laughing, it's okay. It's okay if you're laughing. Some of you need to learn to laugh. Some of you haven't laughed in forever. Nonetheless, the truth is, though, when you replace that with the gathering of yourself together with only watching it online, watching your services online, it's not the same. That was meant to be for like an emergency, like if you're out of town or something. Maybe for whatever reason you can't get there, or you're on vacation, or that's what that was for. Because ultimately you're supposed to be found at the house of God, you know, during regular church services. Because after all, the Bible did say, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. And that's how I see it in regards to, even though it was in, from the Old Testament, somebody might have wondered, you know, how does that apply to us today? And so that's why I took a little bit of time to explain for you listeners how that applies for us today, because the truth be told, it does, in fact, apply to us today. So it wasn't just for that day. Now we don't have to do the crazy thing of no yeast and all that kind of stuff, thankfully, because I'm not going to spend the time looking for bread that doesn't have yeast in it. Are you? I'm not. You do, that's up to you. But sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just love to laugh. Sometimes I make myself laugh. And so, but you know, the reason the Israelites wanted to, part of why the Israelites, the other reason the Israelites wanted to go was so they could be free from that tyrant called Pharaoh. They didn't want to put up with his tyranny anymore. Because let me tell you, he was one wicked tyrant. Now, today's day and age, thankfully, our governors, for the most part in this country, have, they got rid of all their capacity restrictions. Unfortunately, you got a few cities here and there that have decided to more or less bring back the face diaper mandates. Hopefully that doesn't get any further, because then you're getting back to the whole tyranny thing. And we got other tyranny that needs to be worked on, though, you know, with our, but as it relates to the whole partly to the whole oil and gas thing. Now, this tyranny is in the name of climate, but I'm not going to get into any further into politics. So what you heard from me tonight about politics right there in that last second, that's the last of it you're going to hear tonight. That's it. Live in Michigan. If you live in Michigan, next Tuesday is election day. Go vote. What if, no? Why did you say no? Who said no? Yeah, go.
Go vote.
Go vote. I thought you said no.
No, go vote.
Yes, go vote. Yes. If, I just wanted to make sure, listeners, that no one sitting there was saying no, because I thought I heard someone say no. And to that I say, in case you heard someone say no, the answer is yes. If you live here, go vote. Go make your voice be heard, because the truth of the matter is that whether you believe there was fraud last election or not, part of the plan was to try to teach people that their vote doesn't matter. Well, the truth is it does. So that's why you got to go out there and vote. But truth be told, all that tyranny stuff. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather be free rather than under tyranny. And they sang a song at Invasion the first night, and it was about freedom. That was actually the opening act, the ultimate Invasion 2022 intro. You had a guy coming into the church on a motorcycle, of all things. And Brittany, wasn't he singing from on his bike?
Yeah, no. Oh, it's too loud. He just rode it up and then jumped off and started singing.
He just rode it up. So, but he was singing before he got on it too, I think, wasn't he? Or, unless that part of that same guy singing was recorded beforehand. That could have been it?
Yeah.
That could have been it, because it was the same guy. So you feel like that part of it might have been recorded. But then he brought the bike in there and went right up there and started singing. Because if he was on the bike singing, how would have it worked? He would have had to have been screaming even louder.
Right.
Then what? He would have had to be even. Then instead of mic get loud, it might have been mic get even louder, right? Then it would have to be mic get loud part 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Which instead of be, can you hear me or not? Wouldn't it be? Because of that motorcycle. But that was obviously possibly the hardest thing they ever put together at the Invasion, was that motorcycle thing. And I thought it was cool, but at the same time, I wondered, how did that thing get in here? And how did it not give off more fumes? How did it not give off more fumes?
I thought it gave off a lot of fumes, but they had the doors open for that reason.
Because obviously there were fumes. There were fumes.
It smelled like exhaust for the rest of the night.
I felt like it was gone like within 15 minutes or so.
No way. The church walked back in, smelled like it.
But not quite as strong as it had been.
Right.
Like it took a while for it to fade. That's what you mean.
Yeah.
Like it slowly. Like at first right after it turned off, I was like, oh, I was like, oh my! But at the same time, I was like, I think it was still. Was it worth it? I would say, oh yeah. Wouldn't you agree? That was cool. The bike thing was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But how do you think they even got it to get in there? Was that the other part of why the door was open?
Not sure.
That because obviously. A vehicle like that requires space.
Yeah.
And putting a car in there, you can forget about it. Huh. So the part of the idea of Vienna was the open road. But it was a cool thing to see the motorcycle in the sanctuary. And you're thinking about trying that at home at your church. To that, I would say this. You better know what you're doing. Otherwise, I would say don't do it, because you got to know what you're doing, even though it was real cool. But so what did the motorcycle have to do with that theme? I don't know. Maybe the open road. Maybe what?
There was a music video playing, too, of him driving the motorcycle.
Yeah, there was. So there was a different music video of him on a motorcycle plus the motorcycle in there?
Yeah.
So in that other video, someone drove a motorcycle into that church, is what you're telling me. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Wow. So that makes at least two churches that have had motorcycles driven into the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Wow. What? Apparently one in the video you were telling me. Motorcycle in the sanctuary. You know what I want to see now? I'd like to see a motorcycle driven into, like, a Tiger game. I mean, a Lions game. Because that's enclosed.
What if it messes up the grass?
How would it mess up the grass?
Wheels.
What?
They're wheels.
How did it not mess up the carpet?
Because the carpet's more sturdy than grass.
Really? Carpet's more?
Yeah.
I think of a place like Ford Field where the Lions play as being a whole lot wider so it could accommodate it better. There's monster truck races in there. Monster truck races in that place. So how can something like a monster truck still do okay on the field? Or is there a paved surface put down on there for that purpose?
Probably not.
So who knows why they do good. But anyhow, they want – but the idea is, you know, you be free from the tyranny that's – going on, motorcycle, no motorcycle in the building, whatever, enough of that. Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. May it just get down on the inside of us, and may we determine, you know, that you are God. May we determine that refuse to be bound by whatever it is that's trying to bind us, whether it be tyranny or other forces or demons even that would try to just bind us and keep us from serving you and worshiping you the way you said, Lord, for us to do so. And now, Lord God, I thank you that we would be not only hearers of this word, but also doers and believers. And I thank you, Master, for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. And now a brief Tigers update. Last report as of last night, the Tigers are officially in last place in the American League Central. They're only a few games ahead of being last place in Major League Baseball. I saw a report today that said the Tigers are open to trading just about everybody. So there's not too many people who are safe from being traded. To be honest, the Tigers need to change something. I don't know if they need to get rid of their manager, if maybe they need new ownership. Something's got to give. Because we got to get that roar back in Detroit. Because right now, it's not so much of a roar. It's more of a little kitty cat playing baseball. It's a kitten. I don't want kittens. I want tigers. In order to restore that great big roar at Comerica Park, because I've been in that place, and it was loud. And it was loud because they were doing good. And that's great. You can have that when you have them, you know, getting into it because they're doing great. And so hopefully we can get some roar restored. In fact, Detroit hasn't been no Detroit franchise professional major professional team has won one playoff game in Detroit since the year 2014. That's insane, isn't it? That's insane, isn't it, Brittany?
Yeah.
8 years. In fact, I would say that's about 6 years or so too long, because I don't know what's up with those cheap owners. I feel like there's cheap owners there. I wish that they would change their ways. Because Cincinnati's not like that. Cleveland's not like that. Oh, by the way, they're in that state to the south. Indiana's not like that. You say, why didn't you name that state to the south? Well, not going to tonight. Especially when you have football season coming up in a month. By the way, folks, a month from tomorrow, game time. Opening game at opening night at Midland Community Stadium literally across the street from my apartment. And Midland High is going to be in the house, and I plan to be in the stadium watching football and jamming out. And so we have the preseason football starting up in about a week and a half or so. I hope 1.5 weeks to 2 weeks. I hope we never get to the place again where the preseason NFL starts on August 1st. 1 year that happened. I felt weird about it. I almost whined because I felt like August 1st was too early. Because I feel like, in a sense, for like the first 4 days of August, you're essentially in July part two. Wouldn't you agree, Brittany?
Yes.
Because for the first few days or so of August, like the first 4 days or so, you basically almost can't distinguish that from July. So if there was such a thing as July 32nd to 31st, 35th, that would be the same deal. Do you know what I mean? Because almost any other month, it's an instant switch. June to July is much more of an instant switch than July to August. Wouldn't you agree? Even January to February is more of an instant switch.
Yeah.
But you feel like the switch is more gradual from July to August than any other month, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
So that's why, in my mind at least, maybe November, December, you know, after Thanksgiving, but in your mind, in that case, December actually starts a day or two early, right?
Probably.
So it actually happens ahead rather than behind the November to December shift, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because once you get to the day after Thanksgiving, in your mind, once we do that, unless Thanksgiving's early, really early, like the 22nd or something, in that case, so even like this year, for example, I'd be like on Black Friday, it's like, we're in December now. You know what I mean? All right, folks. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see y'all tomorrow night. So long, everybody.